sport or the game of football, I would say certain things probably pop into your head. Intensity, big guys tackling each other, the hitting, maybe the sweat or the dirt or the toughness that they show. Love is probably not a word that comes to mind when you think of the sport of football. Indiana University probably also doesn't come to mind whenever you think of football as well. You think of basketball when you hear Indiana. But this football season, Indiana University's head coach Tom Allen is leading his team to an incredibly and unprecedented successful season because he is laying a foundation with his team of love. See, the team's motto is what I've got written up here on the board. Three letters, L-E-O. Allen, when he took over 4 years ago, he had these three letters posted all over the team's facilities, in the locker rooms, on the stadium, on their uniforms. You can't watch an Indiana football game this season without seeing them somewhere in that broadcast, L-E-O. And, you know, whenever he posted these letters, no one had a clue what they meant. They thought it was somebody's name, maybe. They didn't understand. The three letters stand for love each other. He's based his football team on something that no one thinks about when they think about football. No one figured that love would carry a football team to a record-breaking, successful season, but it has. And you know, as I was listening to this and the season has gone on and you know, everyone's been amazed at how good Indiana football has been, I kept thinking about, you know, the three words that is driving his football team. And if you see anything about Indiana football, you see they truly love each other. And then I thought about those three words and how this is a motto that is not going to help a below-average football team achieve unprecedented success. No, this is a motto, love each other, that all Christians need to be living out in our lives as well. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning, how the three words, love each other, having this mindset, this drive us through our life. As Dylan just read for us, that's how we show who we really are. We belong to Christ. And so we're going to look at three points today, talking about this phrase, loving each other. And they're points that I've thought about as I've kind of watched different things of the head coach, Tom Allen, talk about his team and what he wants them to accomplish and achieve. First of all, loving each other starts with loving and trusting our leader. And for us, that is God. Second, we're going to look at how love is a choice that we have to make. And finally, how loving each other is what makes us different. And so I would invite you to follow along, open up your Bibles, and hopefully this is a good reminder for us. I'm not preaching this because I think we don't love each other at Greenwood. If there's a congregation that I've been to that does love each other, it's here. But I think at the end of a crazy year that we've had, a year where so much division has occurred, not just in the Lord's church, but in this entire country, it's a good reminder that we need to be living this motto out in our lives of loving each other. And so I am excited to get to speak under unfortunate circumstances that Neil's surgery caused me to get to preach. And I don't know what it means that the one time I finally get to preach here, the song leader leads one less song than normal. But I am excited. I'm very excited. I've been excited for a while to get to stand before you all. So I hope it's as encouraging for you all as it is for me. So the first point that we're going to look at this morning on this topic of loving each other, and that's that this starts with first loving God and trusting in Him. Before we start talking about how we can show love to one another, we've got to start at the ultimate example of true, perfect, unconditional love. And that's our perfect example, God and Christ. So turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, I couldn't think of any other passage that was better at explaining the love of God, and then in turn what we have to do as well, than 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to start reading in verse 7. 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him, because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Now, I think this passage pretty much spells it out for us, much better than what I could do, I think. Love starts with God. It has started with God. It continues with God, but that's who we look at first and foremost. You see, verses 9, 10, and 11 and verse 19 show us that God has started the process for us because he showed his love for us. Verse 8 and verse 16 both say that God is love. God doesn't just possess love. We talked about this in our Fruits of the Spirit class last quarter. God doesn't just have love. He doesn't just show love. He is love. That's who we look for whenever we see the perfect example of what love is. Love is from God, what verse 7 says. Once again, he has given us love. He continues to give and show us love and what love truly is. Verses 20 and 21, it says we can't show others this perfect love if we don't first love God himself. And then verse 11, you know, since God loves us and he has shown his love to us in so many countless ways, we should in turn, really the least we can do is in turn love each other. And so love starts with God. So, you know, first of all, we've got to show our love for God. So how do we do that? Well, just some things, you know, verses that we can read, some ways that we show God that we love him. Jesus says, if you love me, follow my commandments. Keep my commandments. Follow God's commandments, what he said for us. Be willing to die to sin. Be willing to die to your selfish and fleshly desires and live like you are to live, that new man in Christ. Be willing to sacrifice. Be willing to give up fleshly things, earthly things, so that you can grow spiritually. And all of us will have to answer individually what that's going to be. And then, you know, don't we show others we love them by spending time with them? I'm afraid so many times, especially in a busy world that we live in, we fail to spend time with God. Show God you love him by spending time in his word. Spend time in prayer with him. Make sure that you make time. We do that for people we love here. We've got to really make sure we do that to show God that we love him. So we must start with loving God and look to God to see what love truly is. But we must also trust God. We must trust that showing this love to each other is going to accomplish what he says it will accomplish. You know, going back to Indiana, Tom Allen, the coach, he said that when he got to Indiana as the head coach 4 years ago, there were just a bunch of individuals that were trying to play the game. In other words, they were not working together as a team. If you think about the game of football, you might not watch any football games, but you know there's a lot more than just one person on the football field at one time. And one person can't expect to defeat the other team by themselves. And so he said, you know, they had to work together and start to come together. Well, think about in our lives before we became Christians. We were just a bunch of individuals going around without any type of lamp to lead our way. And before we became Christians, we were just trying to get through life. However, when God became our all, we trust in his promises. We show our love for him, and we start to work with each other in love to further his kingdom. Tom Allen said, when the players at Indiana started trusting us, the coaches, and one another, that's when I knew the barriers were being broken down, the trust was being built, and these kids were starting to buy in to LEO, to love each other. You know, we show our trust in God by being willing to forget about earthly things and by abiding in His love. We buy in to His perfect plan for salvation. And we trust that by loving God and by doing the things that He has told us to do, and then by showing our love for each other, that we can prove that we are truly His disciples. And so trust His promises, but start by loving God. That's the first thing we have to do. Before we can love each other, we've got to look to God and make sure that we're loving Him. The second thing is that love is a choice. Love is a choice that we all have to make. There's a quote that he said, and this is one of those. I was talking to Ted earlier about some of the short quotes that we liked and kind of go through our mind. This is one that I'm going to remember. Before there is a reality, there is a mentality. Before we can put something into practice, we've got to make it our mentality. And we hear so many times that love is an action, but before love can be an action, love has to be present in our minds. And not only present in our minds, it has to rule our minds. Turn with me to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Luke 6, and we're going to read starting in verse 43. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. We see, we have to first have love rule our hearts or our minds. We have to have a mentality of love. And that comes from choosing to make love the number one thing. You see, it will become a part of us. And we can show love. We can do loving things for others. We can show that action. But if love is not a choice, if love is not a mentality, verses 43 and 44 of Luke chapter 6 tell us what's going to happen. Our true heart is going to end up being seen by others. We can play the game. We can fool people for a little bit. But over time, if love is not that, if we don't have a mentality of love, if it doesn't rule our hearts and minds, people are going to see our true heart. People are going to see that that's not the thing that we're focused on. We're focused on ourselves, not on God and others. Think about the love of Christ that, as Greg adequately explained for us, and as we observe the Lord's Supper, the love of Christ and of God. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, a passage that's familiar to all of us, but I think it really shows that the love that Christ and God showed to us, that was their choice. They had to make it a choice. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 3. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility consider one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, as he already existed in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a bondservant and being born in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Now, Christ had to choose to show his love to us. And Christ had to make this his mentality. Think about all the things that Christ went through. He couldn't just stumble into this love. He had to let that rule his heart and his mind. Christ left perfection. He came for 30 years to be around sinful, arrogant, and wicked people. And then he went through what he went through as he suffered on the cross. We know why he did what he did. We sing it. We talk about it. We read passages. He did it because he loved us. But that love was a choice. You know, Greg mentioned at the end of his talk, and I think it was perfect with what I was going to talk about. You know, you think about what God did in watching his only son suffer on this earth his entire life. What Christ had to go through that suffering. There's no other thing we can say other than the fact that he loved us. Because why else would they go through that for me, for you? The humility, the selflessness, the emptying, the servitude, the obedience. They were all choices that Christ had to make. This type of love And this level of love is not possible unless it is up here first. Before there is a reality, there must be a mentality. Christ allowed love to rule his mind. And this can be said about God's love for us as well. See, because if we don't choose to love each other, if we don't let it become a mentality, then whenever it gets hard to love others, it's not going to happen. You know, you think about with loving our brothers and sisters, there are going to be times when we are tired, when we are weak, when we are overwhelmed, and there's also going to be times when our brothers and sisters are not very lovable. Those hard times, if we don't have the mentality of loving each other, if we don't let it rule our minds, and if we don't choose to love, we're going to find excuses not to show that love to one another. You see, if we don't make this present in our minds first and foremost, and then live with this mindset every day, then when the going gets tough, we're not going to get going with showing love to others. And one thing that I thought about is with Coach Tom Allen at Indiana football, it has taken him 4 years to get to this point. 4 years of telling his players this, of instilling this in their minds. He had to ingrain this in his program, and it took time, and it took work. For us to ingrain this mindset in our lives and in our minds, it's going to take time and it's going to take work and it's going to take work the rest of our lives here on this earth. This is something that we have to continue to work on, continue to remind ourselves. Before it's a reality, it must be a mentality. Forget about me, I love you. You see, the Lord's church is bigger than me. It's bigger than you. We must all be working together to accomplish a goal, the goal that God has set forth for us, to seek the lost, to spread His word, and to help each other get to heaven. And if we don't choose to love, then that's not going to happen. We must individually have the mindset that we are going to love each other, and if every single one of us has that, collectively at Greenwood, we're going to be shining through in this community. And that love starts by being a choice. Choose to love. Let this love rule our minds. Before it's a reality, it must first be a mentality. And then finally, loving each other, that is what makes us different. It has to be in our DNA as Christians. It has to be who we are. We have to be trying to achieve what God is, who God is. God, once again, we said God just doesn't show love. He just doesn't do loving things. He is love. It's got to be the same for us. We have to be achieving to be love. Because it is who we are, that's what makes us a different type of people. The reading that Dylan read for us in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, Christ says to love each other. And why? Because all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. You see, we will stand out and we will be noticed by others if we practice L-E-O, loving each other. Notice that Christ says, if we love each other as He has loved us, don't forget about that in verse 34. If we love each other as He has loved us, people are not going to need to ask who we belong to. People are not going to say, you know, who are you serving? They will know that we belong to Him. How great, just think about that. How great would that be? For the way that we love each other, our brothers and sisters, others around us will know that we belong to Christ if we love each other the way that He has loved us. So what makes this type of love different? Well, I think Romans chapter 12 explains that for us. If you want to turn to Romans 12. Now, what makes this love different? And I think this passage kind of draws out for us some different things here in Romans 12, the last part of this chapter, that makes the love we are to have different from the love of the world. Verses 10 and 11, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Verse 13, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. By serving one another, that's how this love is different. You know, you think about in John 13 when Jesus told them to love each other, and that's how they know they're His disciples. At the start of John 13, what had Jesus just done? He had gone over and washed His disciples' feet. The true act of servitude. So we serve one another. Verse 16. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Be of the same mind toward one another. And in that, I thought, don't gossip, don't slander about one another. And we talked about this in our Proverbs class quite a bit. Make sure that we are all on the same mind. And if we have an issue with somebody, don't go around being haughty, being stuck up, or gossiping. Be of the same mind. Work out that with your brother or sister. Verse 9, love must be free of hypocrisy. Don't be hypocritical. Verse 13, we are to be hospitable towards one another. Verse 10, being devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Be humble and be selfless, just like Christ was. Verse 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all people. Seek to have peace in our life with everyone. And verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I think that's kind of like the overarching way that we can love each other, is to be overcome with good. Don't let evil overtake that. A lot of these things we see in the world, it's the exact opposite. But by loving each other, that's what makes this love so different, so that others can see who we belong to. You know, it's not the love of the world that we are to be showing each other. It's the love of God and of Christ. And if you would turn with me to 1 John chapter 5, because there's something that I want to remind us. We hear about love. We hear in society about the love of God. People use 1 John 4 and verse 16 that God is love. And then they keep going and going and going with it. And they don't stop. But I think we also have to remind ourselves, not only is God love, but God is also light. 1 John chapter 1 verses 5, 6, and 7. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his son cleanses us from all sin. You see, if we aren't walking in the light, if we aren't walking as God has called us to walk, yes, he is love, but he has no darkness in him. And if we're not following God's commands, and that includes the way that we love each other, then it says we're walking in darkness, and verse 7, we won't have fellowship with one another. How can we love each other if we're not in fellowship with each other? Yes, the love of God in Christ is unconditional. It is powerful, and we really can't even explain it in words. But Jesus and God, remember, do not sacrifice their intolerance for sin with their love. You see, their love is still pure. It is still in the light. And that has to be the same for us. We cannot tolerate sin and confuse that with loving each other. When something is happening in a brother or sister's life and they are in sin, we have to show them love by trying to help them correct that sin in their life. You see, the world wants us to love by accepting everybody, right? No matter what they're doing, no matter what lifestyle they're choosing, we accept them, and that's how we love them. Well, that's not the love of God, and that's not the love of Christ. The love that we are to show as Christians, no, they're not accepting sin, and we should not be accepting darkness or sin either. However, we still have to make sure that we show love as we try to correct our brothers and sisters who are in sin. Because that's what God and Christ have done for us. You see, showing this love that's in the light, this love of God and of Christ, not the love of the world, this is what makes us stand out. This is what makes us prove to be disciples of Christ. There are ways that we can still be loving and show others around us that we want nothing to do with sin in our lives. And you know what? The best way, if you're like, how can I do that? The best way to do that is to pick up your Bible. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and look at how Jesus loved others without accepting and condoning their sinful lifestyle. You see, we will stand out because at the end of the day, God is who is first in our lives. And while we love each other, we are aiming to glorify God. Our love for Him will be the motivator for living in accordance with His will and living in this love. You know, going back to Indiana and Tom Allen, one thing that Katie and I have watched videos over and over again of some of these things that have happened at the end of these games, and they're not used to beating certain teams, and they're finally beating these teams this year, and they're excited. And the first game of the season, they won by 1 point at the very end of the game, last second. And he was giving them the speech after the game, telling them how proud he was. And right in the middle, as he was talking, one of his players just interrupts him. He says, "We love you, coach." And everyone starts cheering. "Yeah, we love you, coach." And it was a great moment. A couple games later, he's given the post-game speech. And one of the players goes, "Hey, coach." And the entire team at one time says, "We love you." And then they all start cheering. And then last Saturday, after they won, he's on the field after the game interviewing with ESPN. And he can't get through his interview because players keep coming up and interrupting him. And they'll go over to the microphone and say, "This is the best coach in America. You guys come play for this coach. We love this coach. He is amazing." He couldn't get through his interview. You know, and I thought about how he's ingrained that idea, and those players love their leader. And they're going to do anything they can, even if that's interrupting an interview on national television, to show how much they love the man who is leading them. Well, shouldn't that be the same for us as Christians? We should love our leader, our Father, our God, so much that we can't get through a conversation without somebody knowing how much we love our leader because of how much he loves us. Christ did this, didn't he? How many times did Christ do something and he said, "I'm doing this to glorify God. I'm doing this for the glory of God." And the impact that it had on those around Christ still is affecting others to this day. We have to be the same as that. Our love for each other starts at our love for God. And as we are showing this love to each other, we must make sure that our love for God is what's the motivator for that. And everyone that we're around, everyone that sees us loving one another, loving our brothers and sisters, they know that we're doing it for the glory of God. We are doing it because we love our leader so much that we can't wait to tell others about that. See, in a world where loving each other is an afterthought, and it's something you do just maybe if you have a little bit of extra time or if you're having a good day, we can and we will be different and we will stand out if we love each other as Christ has loved us. So love each other. Love each other is what helps us stand out as Christians. It must be a choice. It must be a mentality before it can be a reality. And loving each other starts with our love and our trust for our God. You know, I never really expected for the success of Indiana football to be one of the leading topics on all the sports shows in the middle of December. But it is. I never expected to be in front of a group of Christians talking about loving each other because of a football team I saw loving each other. But I'm doing that today. You see, because LEO, loving each other, is so foreign in our world today, not only is it making breaking news and headlines, but it's helping Indiana football be successful. See, Tom Allen and his motto of LEO is turning the football world on its head. Because of how groundbreaking it is. Because of how little we see in our world today of that. But if we love each other, in this world that's full of hatred and anger and jealousy and sin, by loving each other with the type of love that God and Christ have for us, we will turn this world on its head as well. And others will be talking about the Christians at Greenwood and how different they are and how much they stand out. They will see who we belong to because we will be doing something in this world that is so foreign and is such an afterthought. People don't see it. Remember that this love starts with God. Look at His perfect love, His unconditional love first and foremost. And then make sure it's a mentality that is ingrained in our minds and it rules our lives. And if we do that, if we love each other every single day with the love that God and Christ have for us, then we will turn the world on its head. We will stand out, and others will know who we belong to. We belong to Christ. And so make sure that we are doing, just a reminder, at the end of a crazy year, the end of a year that's been full of division, love each other. Because we can do some amazing things. Christ and God have already shown us what's possible if we love each other. Make sure we do the same thing here as Christians and as members at Greenwood Church of Christ. If you're not a Christian this morning, you haven't taken advantage of that love that God has for you. And so we are urging, we're pleading with you, take advantage of that. Start to fully experience the love that Christ had for you when He died on the cross for your sins. Become a child of God. Become a follower of Christ this morning. Maybe you're a Christian, you're in the need, you need to repent of a sin, you need the prayers and the strength of the congregation. We're ready to pray with you, to pray for you, to help strengthen you, to love you this morning. If you need to respond in any way, we ask that you please come forward as we stand and as we sing.